Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
You can be seated this morning. Amen. Isn't God good this morning? Amen. He is so good to us. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, this morning, we're going to have a good time in the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? I believe the presence of God is in this place. I believe he's here to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. Amen. To equip us. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, if you don't have your Bibles, our scriptures will be on the screen, as always. If you're new to our church, you could be assured that we will have the verses up there for you. Last week, we had a wonderful time with Pastor Johnson Otenero from Kenya. He came in and he ministered to us, and he ministered a powerful message on the Great Commission. And how many know that every now and then we need to be reminded of what we're here about? Amen. That we are reminded that there is a calling upon our lives. Not just upon my life, but upon your life. Amen. Every person that calls Jesus Lord and Savior, there is a calling on your life. And that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So this morning, what I want to do is I want to just take a few minutes of your time, and I want to expand on his message. I want to take this to a place of action. Amen? I want to take this beyond just hearing about... Can I talk? Oh, there I am in the headset. I don't have to use this. Praise God. That makes life a lot easier. That's like a boat anchor. Even though that it's... wireless, it still makes you feel like you're tied down to something. I can't even imagine what it was like when we had the mics that had the cords and you were limited. You couldn't go anywhere. The length of the cord, and many times, I remember when we were in Needles, I almost pulled the amp off the stage because I would be tied down and that thing. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to take a moment, and I want to expand on this thought, and like I said, I want to take this beyond just information. The Great Commission has to be something bigger than just what we acknowledge. Can you say amen? The Great Commission has to be something more than we just simply agree with or that we understand. It's got to be something that affects us, that somewhere inside our hearts and our lives, we are motivated by the words of Jesus, and we are motivated into action by the fact that we have been saved and we have an answer for the world that's around us. If you haven't noticed, we live in a world that's a little bit in chaos right now. They don't know what to do. There's a lot of people with a lot of agendas. There's a lot of things going on, and I'm not here to get on my political soapbox, but what I am here to say is that the world is looking for an answer, and I'm telling you, church, we have the answer. And we don't have a answer. We have the answer. We have the answer that is going to work in their lives. Now, they don't know that. They don't know that. In fact, in some cases, they may even reject the answer. But I'm here to still tell you that you and I contain within our lives the answer to the world question, to the world's questions, their problems, their situations. Can you say amen? So let's look over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 11. The Bible says, "For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, this passage this morning brings us face to face with a very important question, one that we face in a variety of ways. And the question is, what is the church's responsibility to those who have never heard the gospel? And even better yet, the question could be said this way: what is our responsibility? What is my responsibility? What is your responsibility to those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, this morning, it's a worthy question. It is something that we should all be asking ourselves. What is my responsibility into the greater scheme of winning souls to the Lord? The Bible says this in the Old Testament. I believe it's in the book of Proverbs. It says this: he who wins souls is wise. Soul winning is what we are about. And I think a lot of times the church, and I understand it, I've been in church a long time, I understand what we do, but I think a lot of times the church gets lost in its activity, in its study, in its gifting, in its prosperity, in its healing, and all the different things that it does, and it forgets why we are here. I could tell you for a surety this morning, the reason that we are here is to win souls to Jesus Christ. If it were all just about relationship, and please do not misunderstand me, I am a guy that absolutely believes that what Jesus came to do was to reestablish and redeem relationship between us and the Father. There is no doubt about that. But if that was the only thing that it was about, then the moment we got saved, we would be zipped out of here right into the presence of God, and we would have relationship with Him. But He leaves us here because God is working some things out, and one of the largest parts of what He is working out is that we would be His voice and that we would represent Him to the world. Can you say amen? That we would speak the love of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Listen to me. It is not enough this morning to acknowledge the need or to hear the call. We must enter the harvest. Let me say that again. I don't know if you got it. It is not enough to acknowledge the need or to hear the call. We must enter the harvest. Our text declares to us some wonderful truth. He said, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then the Bible immediately follows it with some powerful, gripping questions. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? This is the heart of Paul. He's writing to the Roman people and he's saying, look it. You need to understand something. This gospel is truly good news because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. They will be forgiven of all their sins. They will be brought in to the kingdom of God. They will be made sons and daughters with all the rights and privileges and benefits of the kingdom of God. But how can they hear about Him when they have not believed? If they have not believed, they will not call upon Him. And how can they believe in Him if they don't know about Him? And if somebody doesn't get up there and preach, how can they hear about Him and know about Him and believe in Him? And if you guys don't send them, how will this ever happen? He is calling out to them and saying, look it, it's not enough to believe in the Great Commission. It's not enough to acknowledge the need or to hear the call. You got to step in to your role, to what God has called you to do. I don't think there is a clearer or more succinct answer to our original question, what is my responsibility? without a message to be heard and a voice to speak to those that need Jesus, they will never know the truth that you and I walk in every day. They will never know. You and I this morning are personally responsible to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. Let me say that again. You and I are personally responsible to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. In order for the people of the world to call upon the name of the Lord, someone must preach to them. Someone must tell them. God, listen, you need to understand this. God has ordained that no one can be saved without the preaching of the gospel. There has to be a declaration of the gospel. That gospel must be heard, received, and then act on in faith. Can you say amen? That's the system God designed. But you need this morning not to limit the word preaching to what I do on Sunday mornings. Here's the thing. We read scriptures like that and they go, well, preacher, get out there and go tell them about Jesus then. Amen. And what we do is we relegate that duty to pastors and evangelists. Go out there. Isn't that what we pay you to do? We pay you to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. No, this is not about my role in the church. This is about the part that we play in the body of Christ to the greater world. Can you say amen? This is about who you and I are as sons and daughters of the Most High. Preaching the gospel is a very broad thing. It is sharing Jesus with the people you meet during the week when you are just doing life. See, when Jesus revealed the Great Commission, his final words to his disciples were this. He told them, I want you to go. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, there is so much more significance to this word go than just meets the eye. It's just not a statement of sending. It is also a statement of doing. It's not just the fact that the church needs to send. It's about you and I hearing that statement and then doing something about it. It carries the idea of a daily practice. Mark 16, 15 could read this way, as you go daily into the world, preach the gospel. What does that mean? Declare the truth. Speak the truth of Jesus Christ into the lives that you encounter. What is all this about? It's about our call as a church and our call as individuals and our responsibility to make an impact in the world around us. The Great Commission, listen to me, the Great Commission starts right outside those doors. The harvest field is right outside your front door. It begins with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your friends, your family, and even those you may encounter in public. The moment you walk outside this building, you have walked into the harvest field. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is speaking these words of himself, but I also believe of us as well because he is in us. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Each and every one of us this morning have been anointed. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have been empowered. We have been gifted. We have the mind of Christ. We have the word of God. We have power and authority in his name to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We are fully equipped to enter this world and present the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and with grace that will heal the broken, restore the wounded, and heal the hurting, and free those that are bound. That's what that verse is talking about. It's talking about our role. And I believe it's necessary this morning to remind ourselves about what we are doing here. No doubt our hope is that we would encounter our Heavenly Father. There's no doubt that we come together in church so that we can fellowship and join together, so that we can come into His presence, that we can hear Him and experience Him and feel Him and relate to Him. There's no doubt about that. But church, we also come into this place because we are being stirred within our souls. We are being equipped within our spirits to be able to take the message of the gospel into all the world. And as wonderful as experiencing the presence of God is, we must never forget God has called us to much, much more. We are called to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are called to reach the lost, restore the broken, and to release people into their destiny. And there are three words on the wall out in our foyer that sums up the vision of this church and the calling of every Christian, and that's grace, hope, and transformation. These words are more than just decorations. These words declare the heart of all that we do as a body of believers and as individual Christians, sons and daughters of God. We are the ones that bring grace. We are the ones that extend hope, and we are the ones that cause transformation to come through Christ and through His power. Can you say amen? We do what we do, everything we do, for the one. We do everything that we do for the one who desperately needs a Savior, a healer, and a deliverer. We do what we do for the one who is still lost, that is still in sin, that is still broken. We do it so they, like all of us, can come and receive grace, find hope, and experience transformation. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're here today. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 30 through 38 says this: Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Yeah, I was thinking about this verse as I put it into my sermon, and I was thinking about the heart of Jesus and about what he's doing, his example. He set the example for how we are to live our lives. The Bible says he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel. He was speaking and teaching about the gospel of the kingdom. He was spreading and sharing the good news of salvation. Can you say amen? And then as he was going, he healed the sick. He set the captive free. He moved upon them and he helped them. And when he saw the multitudes, when he viewed the vast expanse of people and their need, he was moved with compassion by what he saw. He wasn't just sitting there feeling sorry for them. He was actually able to step into the shoes of those people that he saw, and he was moved to action by compassion. In other words, he got involved. He saw that they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he says, pray. He looks at his disciples and he says, if you guys want to pray about something, here is something that is the greatest need of all. Pray the Lord of the harvest because the laborers are few. There's not many that step into the harvest. There are not many that rise up and say, Lord, send me. What they do is we sit and we listen. Are you hearing me? I heard an old story a long time ago. It was about a man who had somehow discovered oil on his property, his farm. And so, as it were, he had an oil well installed. And year after year after year after year, he was pumping oil. His neighbor, the neighbor down the way, would watch him year after year after year, pumping oil, pumping oil, pumping oil, pumping oil, pumping oil. But he never saw anyone install a pipeline, never saw any kind of trucks. All he saw was that well pumping oil. Finally, he couldn't take it anymore. And one day he goes over to the neighbor and he says, you know, all these years, this last 20-some years, I've watched you pump oil off your property. But he says, I have never seen you ever distribute that oil. There's been no pipeline. There's been no trucks. All I see is pumping oil. What is happening here? Where is all that oil going? And he said, the old farmer scratched his head and he says, you know what the problem is? He says, it takes all the oil I pump to run the pump. And I think sometimes that's what happens in churches. We pump oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit. We pump it and pump it and pump it so that we can run ourselves and what we were given. We were given a gift. We were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There's so much debate about what the evidence of the Holy Spirit is. Let me tell you what the evidence is, and this is by Scripture. It's power. He says, you will be endued with power. He says, go wait until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you shall be endued with power so that you can freak out people. No. So that you can go be my witnesses, so that you could share the gospel, so that you could be who I've called you to be to the world, so that you can represent who I am truly to this world. But what's happened is we've gotten so caught up in pumping oil that it takes all the oil we pump to sustain our lives. Somewhere, church, that's never was what it was meant to be. We were meant to be distributors. We were meant to be the ones that went and freely we have received, freely we give. We give it away. We give it away so more can flow. We give it away. And what he's called us to do is to step into the Great Commission. Can you say amen? 1 Peter chapter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Church, we've got to be ready. We've got to prepare ourselves. So at any moment, be ready in season and out of season. When we're at Denny's having pancakes, or we're at Chili's having whatever Chili's sells, wherever you're at, we're at Kmart. Oh, they don't have them anymore. You're at Walmart or wherever you go, that somebody walks up and says, why are you smiling? You can say, because the joy of the Lord is deep in my soul. Why are you so happy? How come you're not mad? That guy just cut you off. Why is it that you are so patient? Because the fruit of the Spirit rises up from my innermost being. I got saved. I gave my life to Jesus. And I can tell you that he'll change your life too. And you speak the word of God. Can you say amen? You don't have to go stand on a table somewhere. You don't have to go on a street corner and act like a fool. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is just be prepared, because God will bring people to you. As you go into the world, he'll give you opportunity. You say, well, I never see it. It's because we're not looking. Come on now. All we've got to do is look, open our eyes and say, you know what, God, give me one person today, one person that I could share the gospel with, one person that I could tell about the love of Jesus, one person I could share my testimony. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't understand the Bible like you do. I don't pray like you do. I don't have the Spirit like you do. I don't talk as good as you do. You don't have to have any of that. You have a testimony. You know what Jesus did for you. You are the eyewitness of the miracle that took place in your life, and you know your story better than anyone else. And I'm going to tell you this, the Bible says in Revelation 19:10 that the testimonies of Christ are as the spirit of prophecy. In other words, there is power in your testimony. All you got to do is get up and say, this is what Jesus did for me, and if he did it for me, he will do it for you. I was the least of my clan, but Jesus rose me up, and he made me better than my brothers. He gave me favor. He spoke to my life. He healed me and delivered me. And you know your testimony, and you can share it. All you got to do is open your mouth. Can you say amen? The question remains this morning, and Jason can come if he would like. The question remains, who will go? It's an age-old question. As I was writing my message, I knew as early as Monday, as I was thinking about the message that Pastor Johnson did, I was thinking about the words he said, and I was thinking about how he had put the thought together that first what God does, he bids us to come to him. He's done that. He's already called us in. He says, come. He calls us to come, then he equips us, and then he declares to us, go. And we go. We're not empty-handed. We go full. Full. With every right, privilege, and power of heaven, we go. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how powerful that is. And so I started meditating on that, and all week, as I was putting notes down for this message and as I was meditating on it and going through it, I would hear these words in my spirit, who will go? And I knew, I've read my Bible enough to know where that's coming from as far as a biblical thing, but I felt the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, who will go? And I'm not asking today who will go to Africa. I'm not asking who will go to the Philippines or China or Korea or Russia or some exotic place in the world. I'm not asking who will go to some faraway place or some different city. I'm asking, and I believe God's asking, who will go to Kingman? Who will go to your neighbor? We talk a lot about, many times we talk about the places like Butler and Birdland and downtown, you know, places that have gotten a reputation of being areas that are filled with drug addiction and all kinds of things. But who will go to Rancho Santa Fe? So where's that? It's up the hill here. Who will go to Wallach Ranch? Who will go? Who will go? Who will go tell them? Because I don't care if you're poor, if you're rich. I don't care if you got it all together, if you're educated or uneducated. If you're without Jesus, you're behind the curve. I don't care what you have. And I could tell you that there are rich people out there that are so messed up. They're blinded by their own possessions. There's poor people out there that are wallowing in things that the world, society, has declared over them. Who will go? Isaiah 6:8. God asked this very question. Isaiah is having this incredible moment with God. And Isaiah says, and also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. You know, this morning, that's the pinnacle of this message. Church, I'm not coming to you in a place of indictment or criticism. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I know how easy it is to get caught up into Christianity, if you know what I'm saying, into the function of Christianity, just going about life. I have caught myself at times just driving through town being aggravated at people, just going, man, you know, for a guy that claims to be a city boy that loves big cities, I sure don't like being around people much. Yesterday I was out at a friend's house, Tony and Carol. They lived like 61 miles out, and they live out in the middle of nowhere. Kathy and I went out and had lunch with them, and we were sitting on their porch, and we were under the pergola, and they have just this wonderful, beautiful view, and you can't see anything. All you can see is trees. Just, you're up on a hill, and it's just this beautiful valley. Can't hear anybody. We're sitting there just talking, and I said, man, I said, I could be right here. I could be right here. I read my Bible and just talk to Jesus. And then it dawns on me, ain't nobody out here. What's the point of reading your Bible and talking to Jesus? Yeah, you get to know God real well. That's good. And that is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I don't belittle that. But the reason we're here is to represent Him. There's been a style of preaching on that word that's been going around. It's not just represent, it's to re-present Him. To present Him to the world. I've told you, I try to watch Fox News. That's what I try to watch. I'm so mad at Fox News right now. I am so mad. I can watch it for about 3 minutes. Ask my wife. We'll be sitting there, and I'll have the show on, and I'm like, oh, man, they make me mad. They just make me mad. It's like, what in the world? After a while, you get to a point, and as a Christian, you sit back and you can get so disgusted with the world. You can get so disgusted with what's going on, and you can become so critical and judgmental. It can even happen in the church. How many know church politics can be vicious? And we can get so caught up in the color of the walls and the carpet and just nonsense stuff. Nonsense stuff. I heard a story a while back of a husband and wife. They were in a church, and the pastor decided to put in new carpet in the sanctuary. This is a true story. They put new carpet in the sanctuary, and the couple said, oh, we just cannot tolerate that. This is horrible. What in the world were you thinking? The old carpet was just fine. Why'd you put new carpet in? Blah, blah, blah. So they started looking for a new church, and they found one. And they went to the new church, and oh, it's so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. Well, come to find out, the pastor of the old church talked to their new pastor about the carpet in his church and got the same kind. That's what makes me want to move into the wilderness and raise chickens. Now, you got to understand, anyone knows what I'm talking about, I want to have a cow, I'll drink cow's milk, and I'll eat chicken eggs. And that's the stuff that bothers me. And God goes, but John, I called you to love those people. And all they need is me. If they have me, then everything will change. And I'm like, Lord, please help me. He goes, that's what I'm doing. I'm reminding you of why I put you on the planet. And you know what I want to do today? And I know this is for some of you, this may be a little bit difficult because it's going to require you to take a step. But what I want to do is I want, if you're here and you're like me and you say, you know what, Pastor, I want to be anointed. I want to be activated. I want to be sent. If that's you, what I want you to do is I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to come up into the altar area. Just stand up here and I'm going to pray over you. And we're going to do something a little bit different. So if that's you, come on up. Come on up right now. Just come up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody. I'm just going to pray over you right now. Because I believe that Holy Spirit can anoint, he can do what he needs to do. And most part, what we're doing right now is we're going online, taking the step to get out of our seat and to come up. We're saying, just like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I'll go. I'll go do it. So right now, let's just bow our heads. Father, right now, I just come before you. And Lord, everyone that's standing in this altar area has said in their heart, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. I will go and I will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will present you to a lost and dying world. I will send, I will speak right now my testimony. I will share in love and in grace the love of Jesus Christ. I'll lay hands on the sick. I'll cause blind eyes to open, deaf ears to open. I will set captive free because, Lord, you have anointed me. It is your spirit that is in me. You are in me. You have fully equipped me with the power and the authority of heaven. You have spoken it over me according to your word. And so, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, you are going to use me. And Lord, I declare right now over this group of people, Lord, that they are activated for evangelism. Lord, that they will open their eyes, and as they do, you will open them and you will see the opportunities to present Jesus. Lord, they will see and know. They will have the wisdom to speak the right words at the right time. Lord, whether it be a waitress, whether it be a clerk at a store, whether it be a neighbor across the fence, or whether it be a coworker, a family member, Father, whomever they come into contact with, Lord, in those moments, you, God, you will open their hearts and minds, and you will activate the gift that is being installed into them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we declare that you would add unto the church daily as should be saved. Father, that the hearts and lives of people that need Christ will be prepared. Lord, that the seed of your word will be planted in them, and it will bear fruit, and it will change them and deliver them, and we will see revival in an unprecedented way. And Father, we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Tell him you love him. Just begin to worship him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen to me as you're standing there. Just listen for a moment. Look at, I know that we can go. That sometimes in these moments, it's like, what's all this about? What's all the formality about? I think as a church, as the church at large, not just our church, I think we've lost something. And I think we have lost the honor of the ceremony, of that place where we draw a line in the sand. And we did this today. We stood up today. We stepped out of the boat, as it were. We took that step forward to honor the call, to honor it, and to say, God, this is real. It's not, I'm not just hearing something in my seed, and I'm not just emotionally moved, but God, I'm honoring the call of God upon my life, and I'm willing to come forward. So I want you to understand, this moment is a special moment. I remember, I'll say this, and then we're going to be done. I remember when I was a young man, before, and this was even before Kathy and I even met, that's how far back it goes. I was in a conference in California. Pastor Mike Neville was preaching, and it was a Thursday night. And usually in the conferences on those nights, they would send out overseas works, the missionaries that would go overseas. And usually that night, they had a really inspiring message on going, and then they would have a video. They would have a video from one of the missionaries that had been sent out. And I remember being just so absolutely moved. I was just weeping in my chair. And Pastor Carl Friedrich, who had been my mentor up to that point, he was getting sent out the next night, on Friday night, he was getting sent out. I didn't know that, but I remember him, he was sitting next to me, and he just hugged me, and I'm just weeping. And then Mike Neville said something. He goes, I want to do something different. He goes, if you're in this place and you believe God's calling you to public ministry, you believe you're called to be a pastor, evangelist, teacher, whatever, I want you to come forward, and I want you to go on record before God and before this congregation. And I remember getting up there, and I remember going up front, and I am barely able to stand. I'm so undone. I had my hands up, and I remember, this is the one thing I remember. He said, this is what Mike said. He goes, if you're here and you're not really serious about this, you need to go sit down. He says, because God's writing your name down. So therefore, you are on reserve. You have just enlisted. And I remember that. I remember I was thinking, I mean, I'm not even married. I'm 19 years old. I don't even have a job at this point. I'm having to beg, borrow, steal, whatever I could do to get to the conference. And, you know, I'm there, and it's just crazy. But I remember that moment. And that moment has been the thing that in the some of the greatest crises of my life has held my feet and kept me on track, because I made a commitment to God. Because I said, send me, I'll go. And you know, church, I'm going to say something. This is, you know, I have been around the world. I've preached in other countries, and I've had that wonderful privilege. You know, Pastor Alex, Pastor Harry, they've been missionaries in Africa. Pastor Alex, most of you probably don't know this, but I'll just kind of tell you the story. Pastor Alex, when he was in Kenya, Nakuru, Kenya, within months, I don't know what it was, 7, 8, 9 months, whatever it was, his church was running over 1,000, is that right? Over 1,000 people. He had that privilege when he went to Malawi and Mozambique, and he had the opportunity to work with national pastors and go in and affect churches, not just one church, but churches across that whole region and in that whole, I can't name all the countries, but all that area. Pastor Harry in Kenya and Nairobi and then South Africa and all of that. And they had those opportunities, but I could tell you this, you know, that was never my heart. I was never sent to Africa. I was sent to Kingman. And that has been a wrestling match at times with me and God. It's you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you look at Pastor Alex and go, oh, you pastor, the town that he was in was a town called Nakuru. And it's beautiful. It's 6,000-7,000 feet in the air. It's beautiful. There's a lake there, and there's just animals everywhere, giraffes and tie lions and tigers and bears, everything. It's just beautiful there. It's like, huh, who wouldn't want a pastor there? I've been sent to Kingman, Walpi Mountain Road. It's not the most glamorous thing in the world. But you know what? The heart of God loves the people of Kingman. Just like he loves the people of Africa and China and Korea and South America, and he loves Kingman. And Lord, you know what? We're here, and we're not here by accident. And long time ago, 39 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever it was, I signed on the dotted line, send me. And God said, I will. I thought, here's the insane thing. When Kathy and I first were dating, we thought we were going to go to Spain. Didn't know Spanish. You know why Spain? It was exotic. I thought, ooh, Madrid. Ooh, or Barcelona. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, those would be really cool places. It's really, really cool. And God says, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to Kingman. And you know what? It's been good, and it's going to get even better. So mark this down, this moment. This is the day you drew a line in the sand. So today, when you leave this place, say, God, help me to see the opportunity. Help me to see, and I will speak your word. Can you say amen? Let's tell the Lord we love him one more time. Father, we thank you. God, we give you glory and we give you honor. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Why don't we all stand to our feet real quick, and we'll just close in a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just come before you. And Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing. Father, we thank you that you are going to add daily to this church as should be saved. Father, that you have given us a heart to reach out to our community. Father, I pray for that wisdom, Lord, to know what to do. Lord, the ways, God, to speak, God, in this community, Lord, the things they need, Lord, to draw them in. And then, Lord, help us to be able to care and nurture for those that you bring in, those baby Christians, those young people, God, those people that just give their life, God, that we would love them, Be patient with them and teach them the ways of righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week. You guys have a great day. Oops.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.